begin with a word of prayer. And the purpose of the prayer is not a ritual prayer. It's a prayer to test yourself, see if you're trusting the Spirit, that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for this humble assembly. We're so thankful for the many opportunities that you lay before us. From the internet, Heavenly Father, our young people outreach, missionaries, and right here in our own assembly. And we pray that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to you, glorifying to your Son. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Now, some of our people are at the Liberty Youth Camp already, but in light of this week, and to keep your mind in that mode for your prayers, let's turn to page 461. I love to tell the story, and I do, and that's what we'll be doing this week. Let's stand and sing.
461, would you stand and join us?
I'm gone, and y'all have a new pastor. He might bring in some new modern hymns, but I love the old ones. And somehow I believe that 100 years from now, saving the rapture of the church doesn't occur. They'll be singing hymns like this and not the hip-hip stuff today. But I'll be gone, so I won't care. But I just love hymns like this that just lay it out very clearly what's going on. Okay, let's talk about prayer. I want to talk about, first of all, prayer about the camp. It started yesterday, right? How did things go yesterday?
We had a lot of great help, and it went really smooth, so appreciate everybody who jumped in and
good.
And came up there. We had 15 people up there yesterday.
Wow, very good.
Setting stuff up. So
wow.
It was great.
And a lot of them are still there. Starts tomorrow with the young people, this afternoon the staff, and then tomorrow the young people. So, we've talked about different ways for you to be in prayer. Let's talk about this one. Well, hi there. How you doing? I love her. She's wonderful. I'm glad to see her. New one that I want to throw on you now is today, tonight, tomorrow, pray for travel. People are coming in. For an example, my friend Jody Brown will teach up at his church in Indiana this afternoon. Right now he's still teaching. And as soon as he gets through, he'll get in the car and make his way down to Liberty Youth Camp. But he's not the only one that'll be on the road. So please be in prayer for travel, safety. That's your kind of your assignment, a prayer assignment. Be in prayer this afternoon, tonight, and your bedtime prayers in the morning. And you think about it through tomorrow, be in prayer for travel. The young people, be meeting, getting on a bus, just be in prayer for the whole bus. And people, I really mean this. An injury won't ruin the camp, but it puts a different slant if something happens. And so let's just keep it with the thinking about what we're doing with the young people, teaching the young people. So please bear that in mind. And just make it a travel day prayer. And then tomorrow, say around 1 or 2 in the afternoon, start back to your other prayers. Pray for the speakers, the staff, the kids. Pray that they're for their concentration, that the Holy Spirit will move them to listen and to understand, receive what is being taught and said in the meeting. Okay, now, having covered anything more on camp that you want to be, we want to be in prayer about? Okay, and so do please be in prayer. Now, let's talk about other things we need to be in prayer for. Phil, what's going on?
My surgery scheduled for Tuesday. They moved it to noon. So I don't know whether they're going to miss lunch or have it after I...
Well, he had an early morning... No, he had early morning golf time.
things should go well. I should be home by Wednesday afternoon, but I won't be able to drive or go anywhere for probably a week. It's all ready to go, and then there'll be other surgeries, but probably not as serious later.
So let's be in prayer for Tuesday morning or Tuesday noon, and let's be in prayer for the surgeon's hands and what he's doing. Yes?
For Pat's meal, is signed up from Wednesday all the way through Saturday already. If anybody else interested
to
seeing it.
Okay. Good. All right. Okay. Let's see. Any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of that we need to be? Yes.
So, would you be in prayer for Joe and Monty's family? Monty was the director of Glen Haven Youth Ranch that's actually been moved to Conway, Arkansas. So it's downtown now. They still own the ranch, but they're moving that. Monty passed away. He was 30 years old, and he passed away this week. I think it might have been a cardiac arrhythmia or something like
okay.
that. But he was in great health and ate healthy and all of that. So it was God said it's time to come home and took him. And so they've got a lot of work to do with Glen Haven Youth Ranch. They got a they have a lot to figure out with his young bride and two small children. So please be in prayer for Monty's family, for Glen Haven Youth Ranch, and Joe and Monty were very close friends.
Okay.
So if you'll be in prayer for all that, please. Kelly as well.
Okay. Will Kelly be able to come to the campus?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So let's be in prayer. Now, what's going to happen with Glen Haven?
Okay. He just passed away last year.
Okay. Let's be in prayer for Glen Haven, for the young people that are there, and they need our prayers for what is going to occur in their lives at this time. Any other prayer requests? Okay. The Word of God declares, whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth the gracious giver. The gracious giver is defined as one who has personally accepted Christ as Savior by faith only in Christ, but also knows how to be filled with the Holy Spirit by grace through faith. Because it is the Holy Spirit who guides us and directs us what to do with our time and money, being under the power of the Holy Spirit. So with these things in mind, let us prepare ourselves by prayer. Let me, before I go into this, I had occasion Friday night to talk to a pastor, unfortunately of the Church of Christ, who denied the eternal security concept, but that's neither here nor there for what we talked about. And he said, you know, I understand y'all are a small church, but I'm just so impressed with all that y'all do, with the young people, missionaries, things I hear. And it was nice hearing you people being talked about in a wonderful way like that. And I appreciated that very much. But this is just one of the things that God gives us to do. And people, don't gripe about the future. This is the future of these young people. That's where our time, prayer, and money belongs to go. So let's begin with the word of prayer. Prepare for the offertory. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for this assembly, for the wonderful opportunities you give to us to spread the gospel, tell others of Jesus Christ, to relate to others how they can mold their life centered around what history is all about. Pray, Father, that you will put your spirit in special work this week, the youth camp, and be with the young people, counselors, staff, teachers, everyone. That your will be done. That at least some of these young people will be touched spiritually by your word. That Heavenly Father, when they walk away from this camp, it will stay with them in their souls. Father, we pray that you'll continue to receive the offerings that we give. Continue to use them to bring honor and glory to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords, even Jesus Christ our Savior. In his precious name we pray. Amen.
Now, in the sermon today, I assume you have
one in front of you. I'm going to make a few comments about this. By the way, when you pass away, let's see if before you do, you can move the congregation further back so they don't hear my notes. I can play this song that we're going to sing, but I can't play it that well without mistakes. I grew up in a church family. Dad was a pastor. We listened to the Billy Graham Crusades. I listened to this guy with this incredible bass voice called George Beverly Shea sing this song over and over and over. I did not know that he couldn't sing until I was much older. And he was born in 1909, and he died in 2013 at the age of 104. But I said, you know, I'm going to sing this. And then I wrote it on a piece of paper here. And then I realized, you know, that's not how I'm going to sing it, because I took a recording of it. And so you will see that it has three choruses over here. And we're not going to sing the first two choruses. I'm going to sing this first verse just to give you an idea how it's... I won't fuss if you sing with me, but I'm not going to direct you until we get to the second verse, and I'm going to have you stand and sing the second and third verse. We won't sing this chorus until the last time. So I wanted you to know what was going on. And now the pianist is going to begin.
Oh, Lord.
Your dad would be very proud of you. He would forget all the bad things you did when you were a little boy. But he'd be very proud of you.
I said, I only heard him play the piano twice in my life. She said, what are you playing? I said, we played the that old house song, or well, suddenly I can't remember it.
Little
White
Jug.
No,
and the Little Brown Jug.
Amen.
Church on the Wild
Way. Well, Church in the Wild Way. All right. Okay. Before we get started, does everyone have after slavation what? Does everybody have it? All right. Now, you may think that's a misprint. Should be salvation. But I like that. Because we were slaves. And salvation freed us. So, James, that was a good mistake. Good. You probably thought of that. All right. And it's important to know after salvation what a lot of people don't know. Churches don't teach it. That's why a lot of churches, every Sunday, it has something to do with the gospel. They don't know how to take people further than that. Take them into increasing in the knowledge of Christ, growing in the knowledge of God, living your life for Christ. So, what we first had is a title, For Me to Live is Christ. And just got to thinking about it. And after I'm saved, what? What do I do once we believe in Jesus Christ? What are we here for? Yes, it is wonderful to tell others of Christ, but we're here to glorify Him. We're here to magnify Him. So this is a very important lesson in regard to after salvation. What? Let's begin with a word of prayer. Purpose of the prayer. Test yourself. If you're trusting the Holy Spirit, who is a true teacher, let's pray. And Father, we know we were slaves. Slaves to sin. Slaves to the law. Slaves to our flesh nature. But Christ has set us free. And we're now free, Heavenly Father, to glorify You and Your Son. We're free to increase in the knowledge of Christ and to reflect His glory. We're free to love as He loved. So, Father, we pray now that Your Spirit will open our eyes to our life as believers. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen. Colossians 2:6, we started last week, finished it this week. Therefore, just as you have received the Christ, note the presence of the definite articles, therefore, just as you have received the Christ, Jesus, the Lord. Therefore, just as you have received once and for all Christ, Jesus, the Lord, as your Savior. Now, therefore, which we introduced last week, sets up the grounds for this exhortation. Therefore, because of something that preceded it, therefore, now you're going to do something else. Well, what is the therefore based upon? Well, I had to make a decision whether just to tell you it starts in verse 13, or let's spend a moment and read it. And I decided to have James put it in here so that we could read it. Therefore, because of what we're getting ready to look or read, therefore, follows this. Verse 13 of chapter 1, For He rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son. Therefore, live as Christ. Verse 14, In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Therefore, live for Christ. Verse 15, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created, both in heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, angelic realm, rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. Therefore, you and I live our life for him. Verse 17, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything in your life. Verse 19, for it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him. Should be your good pleasure then. For through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross, through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, there's the enslavement, there's our slavery. Verse 22, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. If indeed you continue in the faith, now I hope everyone here can handle that if clause. This is where a lot of people say you can lose your salvation because they don't understand that if clause related properly to verse 22 and the judgment seat of Christ. So I'm not going to get back into that. We've gone over it a couple of times. But I hope you're not confused by that if clause and assume the person could lose their salvation if they do not do those things. You cannot lose your salvation. For if indeed you continue in the faith, now what this means is continue making him the center of your life, firmly established and steadfast, and moved away, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, was made a minister. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your benefit, and in my flesh I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church, in filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions. Of this church, that you and I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit. Every pastor, teacher is for the benefit of the congregation, so that I might fully carry out the preaching of the Word of God. That is, the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages throughout all the Old Testament generations, but has now, church age, been manifested to his saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man, every believer, with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone complete in Christ. For this purpose also I labor, striving according to his power, which mightily works within me. You are built up in Christ, for I want you to know how a great struggle I have on your behalf, and for those who are at Laodicea, and for all those who have not personally seen my face-to-face teaching, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love, attaining to all wealth that comes from a full assurance of understanding, resulting in true knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this so that no one will delude you with persuasive argument. For even though I am absent in body, nevertheless, I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good discipline and the stability of your faith in Christ. Therefore, because of all these things about Him, just as you have received once and for all, that is the Christ, that is Jesus the Lord, walk in Him. Okay, how did we receive Him? By faith alone in Christ alone. Walk in Him. Keep walking in Him. The Greek word means to walk and is used to indicate living. To live in Him. Just living in Him, walking in Him. Now, what does this mean, to live in Him? It's a nice phrase. A lot of people use it. What does it mean? Well, it means to live worthy of the Lord. It means to please Him in all respects. When I was young, I didn't do a lot of things. I loved my mom. It would have broken her heart had I gotten into a big fight with brass knuckles. I'm serious. I had them in the trunk of my car. I had brass knuckles in the trunk of my car. Bless her heart, one day she went out there to clean it out, because I always carried, I carried a dress suit, swimming clothes, and just, around clothes. And they'd start getting dirty and all that. And she went out, and she came in. I was sitting in my desk studying, and she came in behind me, and we had a wooden floor, and she dropped a chain and my brass knuckles on the floor. Boom! What are these? And I turned around. I don't know what I said, but I'm sure I said something. Maybe not. Maybe it was those times I was silent. But I didn't want to hurt her. That's what it means to live for Christ. I don't want to do that because I belong to Him. I don't want to do that because He died for me. I want to do it this way. I don't want to get involved in immorality. I don't want to get involved in drugs. I don't want to get involved in these things because of Him. Not because of me, because of Him. That's what this means. Paul put it well. For me to live is Christ. Now we're going to go through some verses now, people. We're not going to study them. I hope that they communicate to you what we're talking about and living for Christ. And each one of you have to make up your own mind what is important to you in life. Galatians 2:20. For I have been crucified with Christ. And whether you realize it or not, you have if you're a believer in Christ. And it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself up for me. Or 2 Corinthians 5:14 and 15. For the love of Christ controls us. Are you controlled by His love? Having concluded this, before He became controlled by that love, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And He died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died and rose again on their behalf. Or Romans 14:7-9. For not one of us lives for himself. This is what it should be. Not the way it necessarily is, the way it should be. Not one of us lives for himself. And not one dies for himself. For if we live, we live for the Lord. If we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that He might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. Or Philippians 1:21, for to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. By that He means you'll be face to face with the Lord. Now read these verses over and over on your own time, and have them become a reality in your life. You reach the point where you truly live your life conscious of Christ from when you wake up to when you go to bed. How you deal with your husband, your wife, your children, your family, your friends, people at work, people at school. You can tell what some people live for. Some live for their work. They are involved in their work. That's all they can talk about, and that's all they want to do. Some for politics. Some for their college football team. They're hungry to find something to live for. Their whole life is devoted to their college. Some for their family. Their whole life is their family. If it doesn't work out, they fall apart. Some for their money. Their time, their joys, their sadnesses are all related to the things they live for. That's how you can tell what is important to you and for what you live. What can take you down? What can build you up? What can bring peace and happiness? What can bring sadness in your life? But for Paul, he lived for Christ. His work, his friends, his time was for Christ. And therefore, a question for you to answer to yourself, for whom do you live? For what do you live? Is it for Christ? We know that's the right answer. I'm not asking you if you know the right answer. Ask yourself, is that the answer in your life? Is that whom you live for? Make decisions concerning. Let us take a look at walking. As therefore you have received him, walk in him. All right? First of all, the word to walk is the most applicable word for living a life pleasing to God. Running is often used for the acceleration of the Christian growth. But no one runs all the time. And just as walking requires one step at a time, so living each day worthy of the Lord requires living one volitional decision at a time. You make a decision. We've studied this, people. You make a decision. And I don't want to overwork it, but I love the illustration. The phone rings, and you hear your children, your parents, your husband, your wife, somebody you love, just died in an automobile wreck. Right then, you have a decision. You can fall apart, cry, faint, lose it. Or, right then, you can immediately think God's will, what God is in control. This is ordained of God. I've got to accept it. It's a choice. Depression, sadness, these things are a decision. SAD, stress, anxiety, and depression, those are not automatic. Those are decisions. We decide to be stressed. We decide to have anxiety. We decide to be depressed. You don't have to be. You can make a decision. I'll turn this over to the Lord. I'll walk where He wants me to walk. I'll be what He wants me to be in this. You make the decision. Living each day for the Lord is a decision you make moment by moment in dealing with circumstances in life, husband, wife, work, health, sickness, family, church, every area of your life. When things come in your way, you have a decision. It's up to you what you're going to do. Point two, let us develop the analogy of the word from the standpoint of the mechanics of walking. Now, whether you're aware of it or not, and most of us adults are not aware of it, your body is off balance for a second until you put your foot down and move forward. Just you put your foot down forward and you move forward. As we walk each day in the angelic conflict, we can most easily become off balance. But stabilized by continuing to walk by faith in the Holy Spirit, growing in the wisdom and understanding from the Word of God. This also brings up the mechanical point of momentum. As we continue to walk in one direction, we build up momentum in walking. To me, it is most interesting to watch and observe a baby beginning to walk. We've been so fortunate and blessed to have a great-grandson. And it was so much fun. Now he walks everywhere. But when he was first learning, it's so much fun to watch him. They'll fall down, and they'll stand there, and they'll put their foot, and they're not sure about it. And they'll wobble along, their little back in. They're just the cutest thing in the world, learning to walk. And that's what we do as adults. Only we've learned now, put the foot down. We don't think about it that way. But they do. And that's where you learn some of these things. Not certain of lifting the foot and planting it, and then lifting another. And soon they learn to develop momentum of walking, and you're sorry you ever let them learn to walk. But that's the whole object there. Now, it is this way in the Christian life. We should desire momentum in our walk. What do we do when we're walking? We stand back and say, walk to me. We hold out our hand, give that baby talk. Hello, walk to me. See? We want to momentum. Walk from there to here. That's what we want them to do. That's momentum. See? Walk over there. Walk here. This is the way in Christian life. Momentum in our walk to please Him. And we build this momentum by continually walking by faith and continually growing in wisdom and understanding from the intake of the Word of God. Here are four spheres of the believer's walk in walking worthy of the Lord. One, walking in the Holy Spirit, Galatians 5:16. Two, walking by faith, 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Three, walk in truth. That is, we walk in the knowledge of the Word of God as seen in 2 John 4. I was very glad to find some, not all believers, walk in the truth of the Word of God of your children walking in truth. That's what we got to walk. Or by the power of the Spirit, walk by faith, walk according to the Word of God. People, if you don't know the Word of God, you're never going to walk in Christ. It's that simple. And we're to walk in spiritual love, Ephesians 5:1-2. So we are to walk in the Holy Spirit, in truth, in spiritual love by faith. It is impossible to walk worthy of the Lord or to walk so as to please Him without walking by faith in the Holy Spirit. Colossians 2:6, therefore as you've received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. 4, walking therefore is a description of the filling of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:16, Romans 8:2-4. 5, there are some strong warnings concerning how we're to walk as Christians. Ephesians 5:15, therefore, be careful how you walk. Not as unwise men, but as wise. Question, how does a wise man walk? By the power and leading of the Holy Spirit, doctrine in his soul. That's how a wise man walks. Not by his flesh. I want this. I want this. I love it when my grandchildren come over. This last week they came over and went to the grocery store with our grandson. And bless his heart, I want that, I want that, I want that. And bless his stupid grandparents, grandfather, all right, you can have it, you can have it, you can have it. And then he found, I want that car, you can't have it. See? But they want, that's how they live. And they got to learn. You don't get everything you want. But that's the way, that age period in your life, I want this, I want this, I want this. See? Got to learn how to walk by the power of the Spirit. Got to learn to walk by the truth. What about walking in darkness? John 12:35. So Jesus said to them, this is your Lord speaking, for a little while longer, the light is among you. That is Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Walk while you have the light, so that darkness will not overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he goes. I'm afraid that the epitaph of many Christians will read, "He never knew where he was going." I'm sorry, but I think that's going to be a good, befitting epitaph for a lot of Christians. Also, John 8:12. Then Jesus again spoke to them, our Lord speaking, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of his life." People, it takes wisdom to know. You know, you talk to an unbeliever, they don't know the light and dark. A lot of believers don't know. You have to have wisdom. I want to walk in the light of Christ. Therefore, I've got to walk in his word. I've got to learn it and learn it all my life. Unfortunately, a lot of times Christians think they go to church somewhere for 5 years and they know it all. I'm sorry. You never learn it all. I've been doing this for 43 years plus the years even before that. I've learned one thing: how little I know and how much more there is to know. So this is the whole deal. You've got to live your life for Christ. Another warning, Revelation 16:15. "Behold, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake and keeps his clothes, so that he will not walk about naked, and men will not see his shame." If you don't want to walk in the flesh, that's our shame. 2 Corinthians 10:3. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh." War means living your life. Warring the desires of the flesh. Warring against Satan's attacks on us, distractions. All of the things we're going to be studying in Colossians 2. Fine rhetoric to get you off of the plan of God. The point here is that one, that we are prone to war battle in the angelic conflict according to how we war in the physical world, training and disciplining the flesh. But as this passage teaches, we do not fight in the spiritual, invisible conflict by the flesh. How do we fight? 2 Corinthians 10:4. "For the weapons of our warfare, spiritual and invisible, are not of the flesh," things visible, "but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses built up against us, against your growth in the wisdom and knowledge of the Word of God, understanding the Word of God, against your marriage." People, I hope you understand, if you're married, you're a believer in Christ and you're married, Satan wants to dismantle your marriage. He knows how to do it. Sometimes it will be sin, but not always. It isn't a matter of, well, she had an affair, he had an affair. The other things. But he will distract and neutralize your marriage. Your spiritual life. I'm tired of going to church. I'm tired of driving all that way. I'm tired of those old hymns. I'm tired of this. And I'm tired of some of those people that go there. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of that. See? Well, get some spiritual vitamin pills. Get going. Get back into the plan of God, as he wants to dismantle your spiritual life. So we're not to walk as unwise, but as wise. That is, by the wisdom from the Word of God. Not to walk in darkness. That is, not to walk in life outside of our position in Christ. And not walk about naked in our position in Christ. We are to fight in the angelic conflict as we walk in the flesh. Now, 6. There are many descriptions of God's Word of how a believer should walk, describing how a wise Christian will walk, live his, her life, wherever you are. Teenager in school, college, working, military, whatever. Let's take a look at some of them. 1, walking worthy of the Lord. Colossians 1:10, Ephesians 4:1. 2, walking to please the Lord. I think that's the main thing that guided me. When I think about doing something, guys, well, let's go do this. That's not going to please my mom. Not going to do that. Not going to do that. Yeah, there were things that I did that upset her, didn't devastate her, but they weren't always the best decisions, but they weren't criminal or really bad ones. But when I think about it, I thought, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. All right? Change from my mother to the Lord. Represent Him. I don't want to do that. My flesh wants to do that, but I don't want to do that because of my relationship with Jesus Christ, because He died for me and rose again and gave me life. 3, walking in the newness of the of life. 4, walking worthy of your calling in Christ. 5, walking in good works. Yes, we're to produce for the Lord. We will study more of good works as we continue in our study. Now, 7, below are some points on walking in a manner that is worthy of the Lord. Let us just look briefly at some passages from the Old Testament. Living by faith, Ephesians 40:31. Yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. The Hebrew word translated to wait is one of the strong words for faith in the Hebrew. Those who trust in the Lord will walk and not become weary. No matter what you have walked over or through, you'll not become weary. Secondly, second warning from the Old Testament, Psalm 1, verse 1. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Who are the wicked? Anti-God. Anti-God's word. Evolutionists. People say you can lose your salvation. It can come from the pulpit. These people, this voice can come from the pulpit. You got to listen what you're being taught. Nor stand in the path of sinners. I think that's obvious. Or sit in the seat of scoffers. Isaiah 65:2. I have spread out my hands all day long to rebellious people who walk in the way which is not good, following their own thoughts, living the desires of the flesh nature versus living the leading of God, the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God. 3, confidence of walking with the Lord. Isaiah 43:2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, these are the tribulations of life, difficulties of life. And people, everyone's going to have them. Every now and then, some people escape it. I don't know how, why they were chosen to get that way. But 99% of us will have tribulations in life. Water, rivers, sometimes floods come into our life. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, severe testing and judgment, you will not be scorched, nor will the flames burn you. Is that possible? Think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Think about that. They went into the fire. They walked into the fire. They didn't have a problem. If they die, they die. That's what they told Nebuchadnezzar. We may die, big deal. But we're not going to bow down to you. And he looked into the fire. He put 3 in, and he saw 4 standing there. The Lord joined them. They walked out of the fire, and their hair wasn't even scorched. Clothes, not any burnt smell on it. People, that's the way your life can be if you walk with the Lord. The testing doesn't matter. It's what you do with the testing that is the great issue. Then we have 4, the love of God calls for us to walk in a manner that pleases Him. Jeremiah 6:16. Thus says the Lord, stand by the ways and see and ask for the ancient paths, His word, where the good way is, and walk in it. Got to ask for it, find it, seek it, believe it, and then walk in it. And result, you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. And I'm afraid that's the way a lot of Christians are. Jeremiah 6:17. and I set watchmen over you, saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet. And they said, we will not listen. Will not heed sound advice. Verse 19, I'm bringing disaster on this people. Wake up, America. 5, unfortunately, sometimes it's not wise to walk as your parents walked. This is a tough one. You don't want to have this as your guiding factor, but sometimes, Ezekiel 20:18, I said to their children in the wilderness, do not walk in the statutes of your fathers, or keep their ordinances, or defile yourselves with their idols. 2 Kings 21:20, so you got to listen for wisdom. Even for your parents, it's got to be wisdom. 2 Kings 21:21, for he walked in all the way that his father had walked, and served the idols that his father had served, and worshiped them. You know, one thing about King David, let's see, if we want to be a Christian, if we want to be a newspaper reporter, we will report he was a murderer, he was a womanizer, and all these horrible things. What does God say? He's a man after my own heart. Do you know that King David is the only king that when you read through all the southern kings of Israel, he did as his father David, if they did right. They were always compared to David if they did right. This is the way you want to walk, as David. 2 Kings 21:22, so as a result of walking as his father walked, he forsook the Lord, the God of his fathers, and did not walk in the way of the Lord. Sometimes parents live in a wisdom that you should follow. 1 Samuel 8:3, his sons, however, did not walk in his ways, but turned aside after dishonor gained, and took brides and perverted justice. That's not the verse I wanted. In conclusion, the biblical concept of walking covers every area of your life, every decision you make. If you're single, your involvement with others, and why? Why are you dating that young man, that young woman? Or older, I don't know, whatever age you are, you're single. Why are you doing the decisions you do? If young, which college, and why? Does finance determine it? If it does, then that's where the Lord planned on you being. He has a plan for you there. Job. Where do you work? Where do you live? Why are you marrying this person or that person? Decisions you make on whom you will marry and why. Where are you going to go to church? And why that church? Ask yourself, well, they have a lot of opportunities for my children. Well, they have a wonderful music program. Well, they have more girls for me to pick out to date. Well, they have more good-looking hunks. Well, they have this, they have that. Or they have the teaching of the Word of God. Why do you go to the church you go to? Financial decisions you make. What you're going to do with your money and why? Moral decisions you make. And on and on and on. Walk covers every area of your life, every day of your life. Now notice two directions of our walk as Christians. First, Colossians 1:10. Walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects. To walk, aorist infinitive of result, followed by an adverb, worthily, suitably, properly of the Lord. What's proper of the Lord? What's the proper dress? I know my yellow coat offends some of you. I hope it doesn't offend the Lord. But people, how we dress is important to Him. You don't dress going to church like you do going to the beach. It's a proper attire for everything we do. Proper way to dress everywhere we go. Even in our camp, do we still have the girls and guys that there's a certain type of bathing wear or wearing you want to wear, and some you don't want to wear. It's just not suitable for our camp. It's not suitable. So you've got to always be aware, moral. and immoral. What is moral? What is immoral? Okay. Note two directions of our walk. Walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects. Now, one, every person who has believed in Jesus Christ as Savior is in the Lord. You are born into the family of God by your second birth, your spiritual birth, being born from above. Two, but now, that's taken care of, is the issue, while here on earth, how are you going to live? You're going to live according to Him, according to what you want. We live in such a way that is suitable to our position in Christ. Unfortunately, this is not natural or easy to understand. Many families here in America do not demand that their children live in such a way as to honor that family. Many excuse or deny or try to hide improper behavior. See, if you say our children have no problem, you're off the hook. You don't need to do anything. The moment you will acknowledge our children are not right, they're not good, what does that say? I've got to do something about it. You're in school. I'm doing all right. Of course, your grades are D's and F's. But if you look at it and say, you know what? These are not good. I'm going to have to change. Don't deny reality. Be able to face it and understand what is going on. Don't make excuses or deny. We must remember that we now represent Jesus Christ to the world. People, He is not here. How is the world going to see how Jesus Christ loved? Oh, I know you could give them sermons and all the rest of it. How are they going to know? They don't see Him. If anyone's going to see how Christ loved, it's going to be through you. People in your periphery, in the grocery store, in school, at work, social life, church, wherever you are, that's what they're going to see. How can you love that way? How can you treat someone that way? Now, you don't want to tell them all these things, so they wouldn't understand it, but in your mind, I'm loving as Christ loved me. I'm not loving them how they deserve to be loved or not loved. I didn't deserve it from Him, but He loved me. And that's how I'm going to love. So the people are going to see how Christ loved. It's going to be through us, people. Otherwise, they're not going to see it nor understand it. You must remember, He is not in the world. He is absent. He is not here. He is sitting at the right hand of God the Father on the throne, doing intercessory prayer for us, doing a lot of things for us, but He's not here. So if the world's going to see Him, it'll be through us. Three, to walk, live worthy or suitable according to Jesus Christ means that we are to live according to the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. Wow! I can't live according to that perfect righteousness. No, you can't. But in the Holy Spirit, you can. In the Holy Spirit, you can. Therefore, it's vital to know how to be filled with the Holy Spirit by grace through faith. Four, to walk, to live worthy of the Lord means you have to know His essence. What would Christ do? We had a wonderful Wednesday night. We had a wonderful one. Jesus Christ is walking along, and a woman, a Samaritan dog, as the Jews referred to him, came up and said, Lord, my daughter is demon-possessed. Please help. Do you know what your Savior said? I don't show my things to the dogs. You don't give food, good food to the dogs. And he kept walking. And she kept following and kept hollering. You know what the loving disciples did? Would you tell her to shut up and leave us alone? Tell her that. She came and fell down before him. And she begged him again. And he said, you don't give food to the dogs. And he was calling her a dog. Do you know what this woman did? She said, even the dog eats crumbs that fall off the master's table. She didn't mind. He was so moved by that. He said, your faith has moved me. Your daughter is healed. But what I wanted you to see was how he acted at first. He was on a mission. His mission did not include Gentiles. His mission was for Jews. And he knew it. And that guided him. Her faith caused him to stop and think about it. And then he told the disciples, don't tell anybody what you just saw. I didn't come for Gentiles. I came for Jews. Do you know how he knew when his hour had come? You know how he knew? You read through John. They came to kill him. His hour had not come. Came to kill him. His hour had not come. And then in one verse, his hour had come. You know why? Because some Gentiles, some dogs, wanted to talk with him. And they went to his disciple, Andrew, probably was a Gentile, and said, we'd like to talk to your Savior, to Jesus. And he went, ooh, you can't do that. You're not a Jew. They went over and said, Lord, there's some Gentiles over here that want to talk to you. He knew. His hour had come. You've got to know why you're here. You're here for Him. Not for yourself. For Him and His glory. For to live, to walk worthy of the Lord means you have to know His essence. That we have His perfect righteousness. And this, because of this, we can live that way. 5, and I think James said he printed these up for you. These verses that we studied, all this, you can go home now through the week and go over these yourself. 5, this comes from spiritual wisdom and spiritual understanding. And then in verse 9, biblical wisdom and understanding will guide you in the power of the Holy Spirit to make choices that are fitting to your position in Christ. How do we live? How you live? The choices you make? Financially, friends, whatever it is? By that wisdom that's in your soul. Understanding what choosing this way or that way will result in your life. 6, to walk, to live in a manner worthy of the Lord is also translated that honors the Lord, or as those in the Lord should conduct themselves. First, we're to walk in a manner that is suitable to our position in Christ, but also we're to walk in a manner that is pleasing to Him in all respects. Now, 2 points I don't want you to miss. 1, we are to live, make daily choices that are pleasing to the Lord, not that are pleasing to us. Now, that doesn't mean they will be displeasing to us. But our flesh nature has its desires. And when we decide we're going to live for the Lord, then those decisions will make you happy. 2, in all respects, not some respects, every aspect of your life, finances, time, people, social, all these things, church, all these things, Colossians 2:6, walk in Him, to please Him in all respects. 1, here you have it. Here, in one short phrase, is the one guide you have to your whole life, to please Jesus Christ. 2, the problem. To please Jesus Christ, you have to know Jesus Christ. I like to use the silly illustration. Man says to the wife, I just spent $35,000 building you a beautiful pool with a fountain in it, all these wonderful things. And she replies, I don't swim, I don't sunbathe, I don't like the water. Who did he do it for? He did it for himself. People, you want to please somebody, you got to know them. The simplest gift that says, well, this is me, is far much better than some big, fine gift. I never use that. Put that in the attic. Put that in a garage sale. But this little thing, boy, this is me. When you buy something for someone, you think of them, not yourself. I would really like to have that. Well, then buy it for yourself. Don't buy it for that person. If you're buying something for someone, know them. Know what they like. So this is the problem. We've got to know Jesus Christ. I know, unfortunately, we have only 3 services a week, but you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You can go over things we study in class. You can read your own Bible. Just three classes a week. I don't think that's too much. I went to a church. We met three times on Sunday. We met Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then it got to be where Monday was included. And it was in every class. Why? I wanted to be there. I needed to learn. I wanted to learn. And the person teaching was going to teach some good stuff. I knew that. See? You've got to decide what church you want to go to, why you go to that church, and then go. And learn and grow. So, to give a gift, to make a decision that pleases someone, you have to know them and what they like. And, well, there was my example. So, okay, three. First, you have to know Jesus Christ to please Him. And this can be accomplished through the study of the Word of God. Second, you have to desire to please Him. This desire comes from the power of God the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit by faith. Three, an important sacrifice. Often to please someone will require a sacrifice on your part. Are you ready to sacrifice for Jesus Christ? I don't want to sacrifice. I don't want to give up. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. And people just make up your mind how you want to live your life. If you don't want to go to the church, you don't want to attend the sessions of teaching and learn and grow, find you another church where they do what you want to do, where you'll be there. See? But if you choose one that, where the teaching of the Word of God is, make up your mind. The same thing is true in marriage. You've got to sacrifice. Have children. People, having children is a big sacrifice. It's no longer about you. It's no longer about what you want. You brought this little monster into the world, and they're a monster because of you, and you've got to take care of them. You've got to sacrifice time, money, things in your own life. I could have done this with my life. I could, you know, that's fine. But now you've got a child. Now you're married. You're married. You don't get to live like you did as your single life. You're married. Sacrifice. And so it is in the Christian life. Sacrifice. Now, some people like to say, if you love the Lord, it's not a sacrifice. And I understand what they're saying. But the Word of God makes it clear. You've got to sacrifice. You've got to suffer for the Lord. Often to please someone else will require a sacrifice on your part. Maybe time, maybe money. Money is easy for a lot of people to sacrifice. But don't ask me for time. Don't ask me to give up my time. That may be what you have to sacrifice. Are you ready to sacrifice a self-pleasing life to live a life that is pleasing to the Lord? Four, love. To live your life to please the Lord, you must love the Lord. To love the Lord requires two things. First, the filling of the Holy Spirit. For the love of God is looking for is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. That's the love He's looking for. So if you have to know how to be filled with the Holy Spirit, by faith through grace, faith in the Holy Spirit, now He can pour in His love. And secondly, know Jesus Christ. This requires knowing, growing in the knowledge of Christ. That's why Peter in 3:18 says, increase in the knowledge of Christ. See? You've got to grow in the knowledge of Christ, which requires abiding of the Holy Spirit, sitting under someone teaching the Word of God. To please Him in all respects, many people speed, read, pass that word all. Yet, pleasing Christ includes every area of your life. To walk, live worthy of the Lord, is to know the Word of God. To walk, live worthy of the Lord is to know the Word of God. To walk pleasing of the Lord is to know the Lord. Both of these are impossible without the filling of the Holy Spirit. Please Him in every aspect of your life. Your marriage, your single life, church, social life, money, school, whatever it is you're doing in life. This is our walk. Now, in closing this morning, I'd like you to take your hymnal. I'd like you to turn to 337. Theme this week at camp is hope. And I want you to be in prayer that the counselors, speakers and all can teach teenagers, young children about hope in the Bible. I know many Christians that don't know about it. This is what we're going to be teaching. So I would like for all of us to stand and sing the first verse of The Solid Rock.
37. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for our study in the Word of God this morning. Pray that your Spirit will take it. May it become a reality in our souls and in our lives. And Father, we close by praying once again for the camp this week. Your Spirit will be with all the counselors, people, staff. What we say, the way we act, teach these young people will be glorifying to you and glorifying to your Son. That they, Heavenly Father, will enrich their lives in developing a hope centered around Christ. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen. Thank you.